AM 1260 and HornFM.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Start up your Friday right here on B&E. Appreciate you doing it each and every day. Start up your weekend, holiday weekend, with Memorial Day coming up on Monday. Really excited to visit with Dakota Meyer later in the program. He's going to come in studio and hang out with us. He is the second youngest living Medal of Honor recipient. Heading into this Memorial Day for his actions in the war in Afghanistan, now making Central Texas his home, and we'll visit with him. He's got a lot going on, so we're excited about that. Also, we'll talk to Jeff Howe here coming up, talk some Texas sports with Jeff from Horns 24/7, get the latest his thoughts on this Texas baseball team that has the pitching to go a long way, but can their hitting consistently keep up? They struck out 18 times yesterday in the victory over Oklahoma, but still a lot of swings and misses, and I'm going to have to sort that out and do a better job of manufacturing some runs. But, boy, the pitching is outstanding. And we'll talk to Jeff here coming up. Plus, Jeff was at that Steve Sarkisian event on Wednesday down in Houston. He drove down to the Touchdown Club of Houston to be a part of that and had a Q&A with Sark. So we'll chat with him on that coming up. And recruiting opening up in full, or mostly in full, or more than it certainly has been here in the month of June. So by next week, they'll be able to go face-to-face with recruits. Recruits can actually come on campus, take official visits, which is something that has not been allowed in more than a year now in college athletics. But a busy Friday. Isaiah Collier is here. Bucky Godbolt taking the day off. He'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be off as a show on Monday, as will all the local shows here on the Horn. But we'll all be back in full on Tuesday. And the Buck taking the four-day weekend for sure. Before we get to your headlines and trending topics, can we fire up the B&E Fact of the Day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Isaiah Collier, game of the century. We're just talking about Oklahoma bitter that their game with Nebraska, the 50th anniversary of the 1971 game of the century, as they build it. Because, by the way, somebody texted and said, no, 69 Arkansas, Texas Arkansas was the game of the century. But each side has their own game of the century. We know 69 was a national championship year for the Longhorns. But, 50 years ago this year, Oklahoma and Nebraska celebrate that game. Question will be, and the fact of the day is, who scored the winning touchdown in that game, in the game of the century? It was a hell of a game, too, by the way, just like the Texas-Arkansas game was a hell of a game and a hell of a finish with a historic ending. Who scored the winning touchdown for the Cornhuskers with 1:38 to go in the ballgame? We'll get you the answer on the other side, see if you can get that one. We know Johnny Rogers was the star for Nebraska, but he did not score the game-winning touchdown. Who did will be the question. First, let's get to your trending topic, headlines on this Friday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And, we start with baseball. Second-ranked Texas posted a clutch 4-1 win over Oklahoma yesterday at the Big 12 tournament in OKC. Win keeps the Longhorns alive, ends the Sooners season. Tristan Stevens, rock solid again. 7 stellar innings, allowed just a run on 4 hits, improves to 9-3 on the year. The freshman, Aaron Nixon, stellar out of the pen as well. He struck out 4 batters over 2 innings of scoreless relief. It was the senior Zach Zubia, 3-for-5 with a double and an RBI. Doug Hodo had a hit and a walk and scored twice for head coach David Pierce.
Yeah, they're a lot like West Virginia in the bullpen. I mean, they've got excellent power arms, and when they hit in the zone, they're tough to beat and tough to handle, but we were able to scratch one late. Doug did a nice job on the double. Just, it was one of those grind-type wins. I mean, it wasn't anything pretty, but we live for the next game.
The next game will be tonight. Who they will play is not yet determined. As we've said, because of rain last night, the winner's bracket games at Oklahoma City were postponed and pushed to this morning. So a busy day in OKC. You're going to start out at 9 a.m. with a winner's bracket game, Texas Tech facing TCU. Loser of that game will then face Kansas State in the first elimination game of the day. Then at 4 this afternoon, 8th-seeded West Virginia, 4th-seeded Oklahoma State meet in another winner's bracket game. Texas, tonight, at whatever time they play, will face the loser of that West Virginia-Oklahoma State game, scheduled for 7:30, but obviously we know that's tentative. Whenever it happens, you'll hear it right here on the Horn. Texas softball team also in action this afternoon, facing Oklahoma State, first game of a best-of-three super regional. in Stillwater, Oklahoma, against the Cowgirls. NBA, put another playoff triple header last night. Lakers take down Phoenix in L.A.'s first home playoff game in more than 8 years. It was Anthony Davis, 34 points, 11 boards. LeBron had 21 and 9. They're up 2-1 in that series. Denver took down Portland, 120-115. They're up 2-1 in that. And early game last night, Milwaukee just mudhole stomped Miami on South Beach, 113-84. They're up 3-0 and in full control of that series. Major League Baseball, Astros had the night off. Rangers, a 5-0 loser in the first of four in Seattle. Round Rock snapped a 5-game losing skid with a 4-2 win in Salt Lake.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, Zay, do you have a hazard a guess? I mean, you weren't even born. Obviously, you're in your early 30s. 50 years ago, I wasn't born. I mean, I was just an apple of my... I was born then the following December, 1972. But 1971, Zay?
I have no idea.
Jeff Kinney. And one texter got it with a question mark. He was trying to rack his brain. But Jeff Kinney, a 2-yard touchdown run with 1:38 to go, gave Nebraska a 35-31 victory. And what they call the game of the century, and a good one. Johnny Rogers had that big punt return to start the game, went back and forth, and the Huskers won it. This year, 50 years later, the Sooners will be heavily favored in that football game against Scott Frost and the Cornhuskers. But boy, that game, 10-0 against 9-0. Did you know that those two teams in 1971, they combined for 17 of the 22 first-team All-Big Eight players? Like they had the powerhouses. It was like Texas and Arkansas a couple years previous in Fayetteville. Hey, let's dive into your Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Our buddy Tom McKay, his great partnership and his great team there for all of your audiovisual needs, your home theater, your home sports watching, your man cave. Nobody does it better than Tom, and nobody does it better than Jeff Howe, covering the Longhorn beat for Horns 24/7. He also part of the Light the Tower show up between 10 and 12 with Craig Way. He is with us now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Jeff, good morning.
Aaron, good morning. How's it going?
Going good, bud. How was the trip to Houston? You went down and back on Wednesday to watch Steve Sarkisian, and what were your overall impressions in Sark's first, you know, in-person gathering where there's fans and boosters and everybody wants to get their first impression? How did he do?
Well, first off, you know that Houston traffic can always be kind of dicey. It's always a little bit of a crapshoot, but the Houston traffic was fine, and I'll tell you what, that was probably about 2.5, maybe 3 of the most normal hours I've personally had since last spring when everything got shut down. I think now that everything's starting to open back up and, people, they were doing the whole, shaking hands and, pictures, autographs, the whole deal with Sark, the boosters were that were there. So it felt pretty close to normal. So I think that part of it for me was a little bit refreshing. And, to be quite honest, there was just a lot of just straight-up football talk. There were no Eyes of Texas questions, nothing about are you going to play the A&M game, really just all about, the team and how everything's coming together. And if you want to know how real the Austin housing market is, Sark, they just got moved into their new house last week. So, if the head football coach of Texas has trouble finding a house and getting moved in, I don't know what chance the rest of us have on that deal. But as far as the football talk goes, there's a lot to take away. But, one of the things that has really kind of just astounded me as this program has taken that precipitous drop from towards the end of the Mack Brown era, Charlie Strong, and trying to get it on the comeback under Tom Herman, is just the line of scrimmage talent. I mean, that's where you win championships. So when you look at the college football playoff, and really you look at Oklahoma's success/fail rate getting there and then some of the losses that they've had, the line of scrimmage talent in the Big 12 is really kind of what, or lack thereof, really separated this league, I think, from getting to that next level. And I asked Sark about line of scrimmage talent. If you remember, Charlie Strong ran off several offensive linemen in his first year, and things were kind of in flux. And I don't know if you remember even Tom Herman's first training, talking about there's too many sack guys on this defensive line. But Sark really seems like he genuinely thinks they've got the pieces in the trenches to be the kind of program they want to be. He said he continues to be really impressed with their interior defensive line talent. And he mentioned again on Wednesday, that was in the spring without T'Vondre Sweat. They didn't have T'Vondre Sweat available coming off the shoulder surgery, and he'll be back ready to go when they start summer workouts next week. And then, you know, one of the portal questions that's popped up a lot this spring is not going to the offense, the portal to get an offensive lineman. And at some point, you've got to start developing the blue chip talent you recruit at the high school level. That's something this program hasn't done in math in about 15 years or so. And it's just, it's mind-blowing to see the lack of development on the offensive line with highly recruited guys. But Sark thinks there's some veteran guys and that can give them some good competition. I think for them, you know, getting Derek Kerstetter back healthy is kind of the portal equivalent, if you will. But, you know, I think Sark and Kyle Flood both look at guys like Isaiah Hookfin and Tyler Johnson or, you know, Jake Majors and say, look, if you're going to win a championship and build this thing in a timely fashion, it's on this staff to take some of those guys that were, you know, high-end four-star type recruits and develop them into NFL-caliber players. So the fact that he really does think they've got the pieces on the offensive and defensive lines to compete, you know, in a timely manner, that to me speaks volumes of, I think, how this staff really does feel about the talent on campus.
Jeff Howe is with us, Horns 24/7, and Light the Tower down in Houston this week. And, you know, we've seen Tom Herman, you know, we've watched Charlie Strong. Certainly Mac Brown owned the room whenever he was in a room of boosters and fans like that. What was your just overall feel of how Sark, you know, handled it? He does seem, whenever we talk to him, to be super engaging, very comfortable in those environments. Did you sense that when you were down there on Wednesday?
Very, very comfortable. You know, he was excited. He mentioned that was the first time he's done anything like this off campus since he took the job. And he was excited. Talking to some of the boosters afterwards, you know, there was a lot of man, this guy, you know, was much better than Dom Herman. And I think part of the deal was, you know, when you look at Charlie Strong and Tom Herman specifically, and I think you can agree with this, you know, Teslas, if people had gotten to know the Charlie Strong that you would talk to, like in a one-on-one setting,
yep,
I think this fan base universally would feel a lot different about Charlie Strong and his tenure at the University of Texas. Just totally different in terms of his comfortability going from a one-on-one setting to kind of that big group setting, whether it's speaking to donors or media or whatever. Tom Herman, as time went on, I think people felt like they didn't know who the real Tom Herman was. They didn't really know who they were talking to. You know, it was a facade, like, who is the real Tom Herman? When you hear Steve Sarkisian talk, you don't feel like you're getting a sales pitch. You feel like you're talking to the real, you know, a real genuine version of Steve Sarkisian. And I think that's what this fan base is. And, you know, he's mentioned it in one of the developed relationships with the players. I think that's what this program means. You know, we've heard the stories from the Tom Herman era, you know, especially some younger guys in the program. He would, you know, walk by them in the hallway and not acknowledge them. And I know people can have different takes on that, but I think this program, the players in this program, really needed to feel like, you know, the head coach genuinely cares about you, regardless of kind of where you are on the depth chart or where you are in the pecking order in terms of, you know, your class standing. And I think they're getting that with Steve Sarkisian. And then from a fan standpoint, it really did eat for a lot of people in that room. Felt like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, feels like it for sure. And obviously that could be wishful thinking from the fan base's part, but he does seem to own the room the way Mac, similar to the way Mac could back in the day. He also addressed, you know, I thought it was interesting because recruiting does open up, and I want your thoughts on what the roadmap looks like for Texas when June hits and what's allowed and what's not allowed here for the audience. But, you know, Sark also made a point to say, you know what, one of the things I've told our coaches a lot is, you know, don't forget about this year's team. Like when you're out, because these coaches are chomping at the bit to get after it and build relationships with the families and the players of the future. But he said, don't lose your eye on what's going on back here, because summer workouts begin on the 2nd as well. And the immediate is as important as the future.
Yeah, you know, when recruiting opens back up on Tuesday, they'll be able to host recruits on campus for official and unofficial visits. And they've got some monster visit weekend set up in the month of June, including a weekend where, you know, they're coming up where they're going to host some 2023 recruits, Arch Manning among them, for some unofficial visits, and they've got visits to take care of, obviously, in the 22 class. So they're trying to be, you know, I asked Sark towards the end of spring, kind of towards the end of spring ball, before it was official that the dead period is going to end at the end of May. And he said, look, if it's open on June 1st, I plan on working every day in the month of June, and it sounds like that's what they're doing. I mean, this staff, you got to think, this staff, if Sark took the job on January 2nd, and it's May 28th, and they just yet to be face-to-face in front of any recruits. So they are, like you said, they're chomping at the bit. But, you know, the important component is, too, that they know, look, they want to pride themselves on being a really good developmental staff. And, you know, the bulk of that offseason work is going to start on Wednesday when summer workouts start. And the guys are going to be with Torrey Becton. But I think, to me, the other part of that is, I think we're about to figure out how good the player leadership is on this team. You know, Sark rattled off several names, and he was asking, who are the leaders on your football team? You mentioned Roshan Johnson and Bijan Robinson, Derek Kerstetter, Cade Brewer on offense, and flipping over to defense, you know, a guy like DeAndre Coburn, Josh Thompson was a guy he mentioned. So that those guys, I mean, with the staff being so knee-deep in recruiting, yes, they do need to be paying attention to what's going on with the current team, but your leadership core, those guys, you know, especially your quarterbacks, organizing your 7-on-7s, your linemen, making sure they're doing what they need to do, guys getting together to watch film, a lot of that's going to be on the players. So while I agree with Sark that staff needs to try to divide their attention as much as possible, this is a time where if you've got a really good leadership core and those leaders are going to be the reason why you do something significant in October, November, that process has to start on Wednesday.
No question. Summer workouts and recruiting opens up with the on-campus visits coming up. Steve Sarkisian this week. Jeff, quickly on the Jalen Blue thing, situation, the running back opting out. There's been a lot of talk about it. I know Sark addressed it, and he basically said, you know, this is a trickle-down from from above, but it's something we've got to get our hands around. And he, you know, really just said, I'm not sure how to approach this at this point. Is it a one-off, or is this something we need to get ready for? What's your thought on the Klein running back?
Yeah, I think he handled it even the best way he could, because I think people need to understand it's a delicate situation. And we've seen Texas coaches before get themselves in a situation where you get on the wrong side of the Texas high school coaches, and that's not a position as a head coach of Texas that you want to be in. But at the same time, you know, Steve Sarkisian has a responsibility to build a championship-caliber roster as best he can, and doing that with talent that he feels can get the job done. And Jake Blue is certainly one of those guys. So I think he took the stance, maybe the only stance he could have taken, that, you know, hey, you know, you like you said, you really got to wrap your brain around this. He did say he feels like this isn't the last time, and I'm paraphrasing here, that this isn't the last time they're going to deal with something like this. Now, I'm of the opinion that I don't think this is going to be a deal where you see this in mass, but, you know, whether it's the Jaden Blue situation, you know, name, image, and likeness legislation, once everybody figures out what that exactly is going to look like, you know, the LOI program has been under fire for a few years now. I think guys, for lack of a better term, at the top of the food chain in the recruiting class are about to have more leverage than they've ever had. And those type guys that can kind of call their shots, and it doesn't matter if you're Steve Sarkisian, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, Ryan Day, whoever, those are the kind of guys that you're going to hold a spot for, because those are the kind of guys that help you win championships. So I think for the guys at the top of the food chain, those are the guys that I think you can see some change with. Maybe somewhat similar to what we've seen with some top-end guys in basketball, where, you know, you're not signing the letter of intent. You're not following the normal kind of recruiting process. You're just kind of showing up, kind of doing your own thing, and you're just kind of good that everybody's going to be cool. But I think that trickle-down effect is just something that very much could happen here in the next couple of years with everything we've got coming down the pipe.
Very interesting. Yeah, trickle-down continues, and Sark says expect more. Hey, Jeff Howe is with us. The Texas baseball team, they won a big one yesterday. Tristan Stevens, rock solid as usual, just so efficient on the mound, and Aaron Nixon great behind him. So only used two pitchers after you know, only using a couple the night before in the loss to West Virginia. Now they've got to play. They've got to wait all day. You never know how long this game's going to, and what time it'll start. It says 7:30, but with three games before it, you know, could be 8, 9 o'clock before that game starts tonight. You know, that get a little eager and anxious on that, waiting to play your ball game. But they're going to play the loser of the Oklahoma State-West Virginia game in another elimination game. What's your feel for this team? They struck out 17 times yesterday, Jeff, which is obviously too many. Oklahoma's got some good arms. We know that. But, you know, we feel like the pitching is here in high ceiling enough to go a long way. Obviously, they're going to have to put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, not just that, but, you know, I think everybody that's watched this team has this opinion, and it's a valid one. The two things that worry you about this team offensively you know, the bunt game, the short game isn't something that they've been able to really rely on heavily. I mean, they've done some good things. You know, Eric Kennedy's been able to get some drag bunt singles and things like that. But in terms of, you know, getting a bunt down, advancing guys when you really need to, sometimes that hasn't always been their form. And base running might be their biggest issue. So, you know, we saw both of those issues come up in the loss to West Virginia. I just don't think the bunt game is something they're going to be able to count on. And when you're trying to manufacture offense, when a guy like Cam Williams is struggling, a guy like Ivan Melendez is struggling, that's something that hopefully this weekend they can kind of figure out and get some work done on. I think I don't want to call losing the opener any a blessing in disguise, but hopefully this is a sign that I think can show, and Texas can really show people, the thing that separates them from other teams in the league and makes them a legitimate threat to do some damage in the NCAA tournament, just their pitching depth. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the conference that can come back with a number three guy like Pete Hansen.
Right.
And, you know, you think about it, if they win today, you're going to come back and probably go with Kobe Kubacek on Saturday, who was your Sunday guy. I mean, everybody at that point is going to be trying to bullpen and piece together, and you're going to get a guy that's still a healthy number two. So I think from that standpoint, you know, we're going to be able to see the pitching depth of this team really shine through in this tournament, and that's the kind of stuff that gets you through a regional and can help you, you know, get through a super regional, and even in Omaha can help you out and separate you from people.
Jeff Howe is with us, Horns 24/7. Also, Light the Tower every day at 10 o'clock. We hand the baton to Craig and Jeff each morning. Last thing, Jeff, even with a loss tonight, let's say they lose to Oak State, if they beat West Virginia, however this plays out, you still feel comfortable that come Monday when the brackets announce that this is a, you know, top five kind of team and certainly a top eight national seed?
Yeah, I think they've got a top eight locked up. Yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. I mean, I saw this even after the loss Wednesday, you know, the D1 projections had them still projected to be the number three overall seed. I think they were five still in RPI. So there are very few teams in the country, regardless of what happens the rest of the weekend, that when the selection committee sits down and starts to compare resumes, I think Vanderbilt, Arkansas, maybe Tennessee, there's only a couple of teams that you can say definitively are going to have a better resume than Texas.
Yeah, 41-14 now. At last check, we're the second-ranked team in the RPI and in D1 baseball. We'll see. As you said, Pete Hansen tonight, that's pretty good. If you're to hand it to Ty Madden, Tristan Stevens, and now in an elimination game, give it to a lefty like Pete Hansen, got to feel pretty good. And that's a great point about Kubacek, too, because he is a starter all year, so his arm is extended. He can get you a start into a Saturday elimination game, and you're right about that pitching depth. We'll see if the hitting can follow and that short game, as you called it. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much. Appreciate it being up early, and good stuff for our folks here as they head off on a Friday. Thanks for doing it.
No problem, me. See you in a little bit.
All right, see you in a little bit. He'll make the trip up 35, and he'll be in here at 10 o'clock with Craig Way, who is live in Oklahoma City at the Bricktown Ballpark. He'll be calling the games, and yeah, that's a long day. Texas is going to sit back and watch three ball games, you know, not knowing what time. You just show up and play when you play, but it could be 9 o'clock before that game gets going. Remember, Texas was supposed to play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in their first game against West Virginia. That didn't start till almost 5:30, so that was, you know, 1.5 hour late. This one could be in the 8 o'clock hour tonight or even 9 before they get going at OKC. But good news, by the way, after last night's games, the two winners' brackets games were rained out, which forced them into this morning. Weather forecast in Oklahoma City this weekend, good. So there should not be any other weather delays as far as that goes. When we come back, we pick up the big stories of the morning. Zay will get us his thoughts on these NBA playoffs. Lakers win their first home playoff game in 8 years last night. Yes, they won the championship a year ago, but that was in the bubble. This was back at Staples, and they took a 2-1 lead over Phoenix. Zay weighs in there. We've got our hot or not topics, and as we mentioned, Real Patriot will be in with us on this Memorial Day Friday. Dakota Meyer is going to hang out in studio with us for an extended visit. That's all part of a Friday on B&E. Live, local, and digital streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn, B&E with you, Isaiah and E. Actually, Bucky taking the 4-day weekend, enjoying some time at the coast, I believe. He's headed down to fish camp, as they call it. Do some fishing, do some relaxing, which is a good thing. Hope everybody gets a chance to do that this weekend on this Friday. It's National Hamburger Day, Zay. National Hamburger Day. Might need to get yourself a burger today. Enjoy that. We've talked earlier about this week about the perfect burger. This would be the weekend, I'm assuming, a lot of good times. And it's going to be, as we said earlier, take it easy. Take it easy. We're watching the NBA and these fans and baseball games. You know, we're finally getting back into the stands, and we got brawls. What'd you say down in Houston? The Dodgers and Astros played, and there was a brawl where the mother and the father like left their kids to went over to get in a fight?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah, a little girl was crying.
Lady
in the stands right beside her had the presence of mind to grab the baby, which is absolutely ridiculous. But at least we got fans back, right?
Yeah, but I'm worried now. Not worried. I'm just apprehensive that people are going to – we're back. We're heading to the beach. We're heading to the lake. We're headed out. Calm down. Don't go full. It's like that that kid that goes off from high school to college, you know, that first semester – gets a little out of control, right? It's like that first sense of freedom. You know, you make some poor decisions. So let's not do that this weekend. Let's be safe and smart. But you do have a three-day weekend. The weather looks pretty darn good for the weekend wherever you're headed. And safe travels, as we say. But do remember on Monday that it is Memorial Day. After all, it's not just a holiday. It's the day we honor the fallen. Previously called Decoration Day. It's the day in which we honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country. There will be celebrations and observations throughout Central Texas and wherever you go at cemeteries and military cemeteries. But please take a moment for that, or more than that. We're going to talk to Dakota Meyer coming up. He's going to be in with us in the end of the show. He's going to head over here at 8 o'clock, and we'll hang out with him. He's, of course, a recipient of the Medal of Honor and a true distinguished patriot in our country's history. So we'll speak with him about what Memorial Day means to him and all the things he's doing now. Lives here in Central Texas. Very active guy. He's a good dude. He's become a friend here in recent weeks and months. So excited to have him in the house for the first time and a first visit. Also watching NBA playoffs this weekend, Zay. We're ready for Mavericks tonight. Can the Mavericks take a stranglehold on this series? And, I mean, they're already up 2-0. I mean, you would argue they already are. We've talked about, you know, 31 times previously, an NBA team has won the first two games on the road. They've won the series 27 of the 31 times. So odds in the Mavs' favor. But last thing you want to do is give the Clippers life tonight on home floor in what should be a pretty raucous atmosphere at the American Airlines Center.
Yeah, and look for Tyronn Lue to make adjustments, because at the end of the day, Ivan Zubac has been an absolute liability. And I think the Mavericks been licking their chops every time they see him on the court, because they just been putting him in pick and roll. And if the Clippers are going to switch, then, you know, guys like Luka and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Jalen Brunson, they're going to have their way with him. And sometimes that's not just scoring, but that's creating for others. And, you know, hockey assists are a thing in the NBA. They're huge. When a guy makes two passes but breaks down the defense, and then two passes later, you know, you see a wide open shot, and Luka's really good at hockey assists. So look for Tyronn Lue, see if he can make adjustments tonight against the Mavs.
Yeah, and the Mavs, man, they have an opportunity here to really, I mean, not only can they snatch this series and put it in a chokehold, they can also put themselves in a position to get through this series quickly. And get some downtime before the next series in the Western Conference. I mean, that's obviously nationally this would be a big story if the Mavs go on to win it. And obviously in Clipperland out in L.A., this was championship or bust when this team was put together. It didn't work last year, but that was the bubble, and there were, you know, reasons for it. And Paul George didn't handle the bubble well, and Doc Rivers was out as the head coach. And, you know, this was the year, and they've kind of stumbled through the regular season. They you know, rested people. You still kind of wonder, that it feels like there's some missing pieces with this Clippers team as far as a team that can win the whole thing. Heck, they can't even possibly get out of the first round of the playoffs, Zay.
Yeah, and that just shows how good LeBron James is, because Tyronn Lue, he hasn't won a playoff game without LeBron. And then you go back to Rajon Rondo, who had a really good bubble playoffs last year playing with the Lakers, and the Clippers thought that he was going to be the same Rondo coming, you know, to their L.A. team, and they got rid of Lou Williams, who I think is an absolute stud, even though he likes strippers and all. You can't knock the man for that.
He likes chicken wings.
Yeah, that's right. He likes chicken
wings. Chicken wings,
Zay. He likes chicken wings, so...
It just so happens that the best chicken wings in town are at the strip club. I mean, he can't help that. And they're so good, they've now named them after him, the Sweet Lou Wings at the joint there.
Yeah, Magic City. He's living good.
Magic City.
Yeah, he's living good. He's back there in Atlanta. He could go to Magic City anytime he wants. But, yeah, this isn't the same Clippers team as last year, who obviously underachieved. And remember, this is Kawhi's final year with the Clippers if he likes to. So
really?
Yeah.
The opt-out is there, huh?
Yeah, in Miami, they're struggling too. And word on the street is Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard are secretly friends. So
secret friends. I like that. Hey, now there you go. Good stuff, Zach. Mavericks tonight. Last night, obviously, Lakers won. The Nuggets won. Nikola Jokic continues to be a stud in a big way. And Milwaukee just smashed. I got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed. I'm trying to get into these NBA playoffs, and I keep turning on this Eastern Conference early game because it starts like 6:30. I'm like, all right, I'll get going here. Gosh, by 7, it's over. It's like, this isn't even good basketball. These blowouts in these early games have to be killing the TV ratings. You got to stay up ultra late to see the good games that have been going on, unless you're watching Knicks and Hawks. But basketball into the playoffs, obviously. You know, we'll see if the Mavericks can get a hold of it tonight and defend home floor. We also mentioned football-wise, and we talked to Jeff Howell from Horns 24/7 about it, but you know, what are you going to do when the TV partner, right? I mean, the TV networks, Fox and ESPN, pay a fortune to the TV rights. I mean, that's where most of the income comes for these athletic departments and conferences. So when the TV, you know, partner says, this is what time we're going to air the game, this is what time you air the game. And I don't think there's anybody listening that roots for Texas that is excited to see a 3:30 kickoff on September the 4th, because we know what that means. I mean, you couldn't pick a worse time in Austin, Texas on September the 4th to play a game. I mean, 11 o'clock would be better. I mean, at least there's a, I mean, by the end of the game, it's blazing, but at least at 11, it's going to be warm, but it's not the heat of the day. The night game obviously would be the best alternative, but instead 3:30, so you're going to play a, you know, 4-hour football games there right through the heat of early September in Texas. That's the way it goes. You know, Louisiana, they play in hot temperatures too and practicing that down there in the bayou, so they'll be fine. It's more about the fans. I don't worry about the players as much as, you know, the fan experience is just, that's dreadful to stand in the sun like that for 4 hours.
Yeah, but everybody's going to be amped up.
Yeah, they'll be amped up.
And like you said,
dude,
you
that'll better, drain you. That'll wear you out, brother.
Yeah, you better start hydrating now, man.
I would. But 3:30, and as we said earlier, the Oklahoma side of it, they're even more angry at the TV partners because they were, you know, this is obviously a big deal in Norman, Oklahoma, and Lincoln, Nebraska, the 50th anniversary of the game of the century. And as we read earlier, the statement from Joe Castiglione, the Oklahoma athletic director, that they're bitterly disappointed that the 50th anniversary of that game will kick off at 11 a.m. Clearly, Joe and the Big 12 were pushing for a primetime slot, right? Give us a primetimer here, you know, get us in there for, you know, an opportunity to really showcase 50 years later. But as you said, Zay, no one, they don't want to put this thing in primetime. The TV networks know it's about ratings and eyeballs. And this game could be over in the first quarter when you've got a top five Oklahoma team against a, what is Nebraska? I mean, that game is likely not to be close. If we're in Lincoln, I think I can maybe make an argument because maybe the home field and, you know, the history, but this game's in Norman. This is going to be a stomp.
Yeah, I get what Oklahoma's trying to do. They want to make their statement. They want the night game so they could show everybody in the nation how good they are and the fact that they're going to roll the Cornhuskers by 60 so everybody could get scared in their cleats. And, yeah, Oklahoma, they're not slick. I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, they wanted that prime time. And look, there's a reason the Big 12, you know, pushed to get their Big 12 Media Days first out the gate, right? They're going to be coming up in Arlington at Cowboys Stadium on July, I think it's 14th and 15th or 15th and 16th. It's the Wednesday and the Thursday after the baseball All-Star game, one of the slower times of the sports calendar. You know, Big 12 wanting to get that national attention that they can get with Oklahoma as a potential number one team. Lincoln Riley, Iowa State's coming back top 10, Steve Sarkisian at Texas. There's a lot of storylines that will push the Big 12, but obviously they got Heisman. They got Heisman to say on their request for a better time slot than 11 a.m. And that doesn't even sound like that's going to be a national broadcast. I think that's part of it, too. I think it's a regional 11 a.m. broadcast, which, you know, that you want that. They wanted that thing to be a big national game of the week kind of thing to honor the 50 years of that that history. But not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not happening. ESPN, Fox said, no, thank you. We'll put that at 11. Not going to happen. We will get you some of the better games that day. Which game is going to be the prime timer? That's a week two game between Oklahoma and Nebraska. You know, up there in Norman, so we'll have some of those coming up. Isaiah Collier will walk us through the hot or not topics, and as we said on our Memorial Day Friday, Dakota Meyer is going to join the show coming up later, and we'll hang out with him for a while and get to know a true patriot who lives in our area now. It's a busy Friday, live, local, and digital here on the Horn, always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.
What's hot? and what's not.
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
No regrets ever. Hey, quick note, upon a check of the dates, that Nebraska-Oklahoma 50th anniversary of the Game of the Centuries A is the third week, September 18th. And I'll ask the folks, do they have a case, Zay, for a better slot than 11? Because the game of the weekend, week three, is Alabama at Florida. Okay, but obviously that's going to be an SEC game on CBS. You know, Big 12's on Fox or ESPN. Your other choices are Nebraska at Oklahoma, Auburn at Penn State, and the other biggest game of the week is Cincinnati at Indiana. Texas is playing Rice. They could have stuck in a better spot than 11 a.m. I can see why Castiglione's frustrated with that. It's not like there's these monster games that they're going to choose from.
Quit bitching, Oklahoma fans. Y'all need y'all small violin. Not trying to hear that.
Trying to hear that.
All the 11 o'clock games that we've had to watch in these past few years, I ain't trying to hear none of that.
Could be the number one team in the land, Zay.
And nobody wants to see that bootleg Patrick Mahomes sling that thing.
Oh, man. But there you go. College football, 99 days out. We've had some good Steve Sarkisian talk this morning. We'll continue to do so. Also, hot or not, obviously not hot, the fallen, right? Those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. I'll post this and retweet this. But spots around town where you can pay your respects on Memorial Day. There's services all over Central Texas and all over Austin and Round Rock and the area. So I'll retweet this at Aaron Hogan. Nick, our friends at Coke FM actually posted it. But several organizations in Austin and the Austin Metro will host events to honor the memory of the veterans who lost their lives in service of our country. We will post that up, and I'll put it out at Aaron Hogan, Erin Hogan. See if you can make that a part of your three-day weekend. Isaiah Collier, what do you have in the hot or not topics this morning, my friend?
Good looking, E. So, I know we're not millionaires in the business of radio, but you gotta be smart with your paper.
True.
Unlike Dan Dockett, radio sports personality in Indianapolis, who has to do DoorDash deliveries because he bet too much and lost during the NCAA tournament.
Hold on. Dan Dockett's the former basketball coach? Wasn't he a coach somewhere, Dan Dockett?
Maybe. But he worked for the Four Letter Network for a little bit.
He did. And now he does local radio in Indianapolis. But he was wasn't he a basketball coach somewhere? He coached at Indiana as an assistant, and then at Bowling Green he was a head coach, and then was an interim head coach. That's what he was. He was the interim head coach at Indiana when one of the Indiana coaches got fired, and then he got into TV and now radio. So he lost so much cash on the tournament that he's got to do DoorDash?
Brutal. Says that he comes from iron and steel workers, meaning that his ancestors probably played against Wilt Chamberlain, and he lost sight of the value of the dollar.
So he lost a lot. Dang.
Yeah, he lost a lot. His wife said he was crazy, but...
She's still his wife?
Yeah, he kept his wife, but
dang,
he saw his stepson getting that bag, which his stepson told him that he made up to $25 an hour. So Dan said, you know what? I'm going to stick my pride down somewhere deep, and I'm going to deliver this food to whoever needs it.
Oh, DoorDash. Now, have you ever done that before today? Did you ever do any DoorDashing? And that's like where you deliver food. People order food, you go pick it up and deliver it, correct?
No, I wanted to favor, but... That's too many miles on the whip.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But they make good cash.
They do.
I will say at 40, I've never used a DoorDash service or a whip or whatever we call it. What is a DoorDash favor?
It's favor here. In Texas, it's favor. I think Texas and favor, that's the only place you could do favor. But everywhere else in the world, there's Uber Eats, DoorDash. I forgot the other one. I don't use it much.
I've never done it. I've never had food. Well, I've ordered pizza over time. We used to do that on Friday night when the kids were little. It was Friday night pizza night, so we'd always get the pizza delivered. But I've never done the go pick me up some fast food and drop it. I know people do that. Let's go get it. I know some people don't have time. Some people are really much busier than me. I get that, but not something I've ever done. You can have some bad beats. You can lose some bets. You can come up short, but you can't. he's got a job, right? He's got a job, so he lost so much money that he's got to take on a second job. You know, Dan Dockage does a podcast on college basketball. He's got a radio show in Indianapolis. That seems excessive. He might have a problem, Zay. Might have a problem. Not hot on that at all.
Maybe he just got too much into the hype because he's in Indianapolis. That's where the tournament was. He was probably seeing teams, you know. He probably had the inside scoop. So
good point, Zay.
He got a little over his head.
Yeah, it was. It was all bubbled throughout Indianapolis. So, yeah, as the basketball coach, he's smarter than everybody else, including Vegas. He's going to have the inside scoop and win a fortune. Instead, he's working at DoorDash. Damn. Hey, Zay, new survey by the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. I'm sure there'll be some hot dogs consumed over the weekend. I didn't know there was something called the NHDSC, the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, but there is. They did a survey of people's favorite way to make the best hot dog. You know what the number one is? Best way to make a hot dog?
I don't know if I want to know this.
Grilled.
Okay.
Grilled. 75% compared to 9% who like them over a campfire. 6 boiled, 3 steamed, 2 are cool with the microwave, 2% cool with the microwave. Grilled, 75%. Ketchup was the most essential topping, followed by onions, relish, chili, cheese, sauerkraut, mayo, bacon, jalapenos, and coleslaw. Actually, the number one topping was mustard.
Okay, ketchup, I was about to say.
Mustard, the number one topping on both a hot dog and a sausage. Hey, coming up, we'll reset the headlines. We're going to check in with Craig Way up in OKC, get a preview of the day in Oklahoma City, what it's looking like, 4 games on the docket, including Texas. What time might they play tonight in OKC in an elimination game, and whom might they play? We'll talk to C. Way, the voice of the Longhorns, coming next. It's B&E, live, local, and digital, always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.